The reading is taken from Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. Thanksgiving and prayer. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Hello. It's lovely to be with you this morning, almost. And to those of you watching at home or online, it's great to be with you too. So my name is Alison Fenning. I do work for the RSVP Trust. And at the back of the church on the table, you'll see some leaflets that I've left, which tells you more about what we do. Okay. So they're there for you to grab on your way out if you want that. I've worked for nearly 20 years now across many nations, including this one, doing evangelism, outreach, and mission. I haven't always done that. Had a life before, different kind of life, but had a life before. And one of the things I want to speak about this morning is moving beyond your borders, and that's certainly what God did with me. And I love this portion of scripture. It's one of my favorite, Colossians and Ephesians, one of my favorite two books in the scriptures, really. But I love this portion of scripture because it encourages us to live a life worthy of the Lord. Live a life worthy of the Lord. And sometimes to do that, we have to go beyond ourselves and beyond our own situations and step out in faith, like we sang earlier. There's some other things I have for you in front on the table, which I'll just say that now I can get rid of them. So one of the things I'm going to speak about is going beyond our borders. And sometimes to do that, we have to step out in faith and touch somebody else's life. It's exciting, isn't it? Music's not all about us all the time, which is helpful for me, isn't it, in myself. So I bought a couple of books. One is called Real Life Stories, which is a gathering of stories, of people's stories that met Jesus and had their lives changed, that you can give to anyone. That's why we compile that. And I bought my own little book, my own little story, which you can also give away to people. Both of these are free. There's no point in them sticking in my car as they're not doing anything. So take those, use them, and have a go is what I'd say. Be a bit sneaky with it, with people. But going beyond your border, just to go, do you want to have a book, have a read of this story? You read them first, and then you can chat about them, can't you? Over a coffee or what with people. First time I went beyond my own border, I found myself in Africa, in Uganda, and I was in a jungle on my own with 10 pastors, not knowing where I was, camping in a tent, very small one-person tent, and they said, we've come here because you're going to lead revival meetings and you're the main speaker for 3 days. And I was like, what? I'd only come to faith within a year, if that, actually. I'd preached once or twice in my life and that was it. Okay, no pressure. Going through my borders. I was like, well, I'm here now, I'm in the middle of the jungle, I can't go back to the city, can I? There's no escape, so I'm just going to have to get on with it. And many, many people came to these little, it was a really cute little church, very basic. I don't think it had walls, actually. It was just a, you know, wooden construct with things over it. And a very basic toilet and wash situation going on there. So, yeah, so all of that. But loads of little people came, and it was really, really good. I was so encouraged in myself by their faith and their belief in God, that it helped me, probably more than it did them, if I'm honest with you, because I'm pretty sure I haven't got a clue, but I'm sure it was very basic stuff. But we had a really good 3-day conference, I would call it, and I came away from that experience thinking, I've definitely gone beyond my border. I've definitely come out of my comfort zone, and God was with me. He did some amazing things. I actually saw someone get their hearing back. This person came up and said, I need prayer for my hearing, I'm deaf. I was like, well, I haven't got a clue how to do that. So I turned to this pastor who took me there and said, over to you. And he said, this is what you do. And he got the ear and he was shouting down the ear. And I thought, this is not going to work really, is it? It's not going very well. And joy, it worked. So God really blew my mind and took me way out of my comfort zone. But it helped me then come back to the UK with a greater extent of faith to then move into things, to go through some really difficult things that I had to let go of, and to then move beyond my borders to go into training and ultimately ministry here. So God uses all things, doesn't he? He works all things together for our good. So even in the difficult situations, he is definitely equipping us. I fundamentally believe that. I wouldn't recommend going to the jungle and staying in a tent where only I could sleep, but another lady tried to get in to help me be safe. And I said, no, get out. So I had a little man on the end of the tent with a gun. Anything could have happened. I'm surprised I'm alive, really. Anything from the food to the safety, anything could have happened. But here I am, still in the tent, because I went beyond my border where God called me. Now, hopefully, he may not call you to the middle of the jungle. He may, but hopefully he won't. And if you do, have a chat with me before you go. I can prepare you for that. But what God did on that trip, he cultivated something in my heart, a love and a faith for people. A love and a faith for people that I hadn't experienced before, that led me to dare to have a go. Like I said, my preaching was very basic, I think. It moved me from A to B. So expanding our borders moves us from A to B. So I'm wondering where the border is in your church. Is there a border in your church that needs to shift from A to B to expand? And then I'm also wondering, in your own life, is there a border within yourself that needs to expand to take you outside of a current situation, which could be an internal situation or an external one? Because God is interested with us on the inside as well as the outside. In fact, more I would say on the inside. God is always looking to bring change and compassion and a deeper sense of intimacy into our lives, which I believe this scripture speaks about. So off the back of that story in Africa, I left my life as it was. Did some really brave things. When I look back, I think, what was I thinking? I gave up a relationship. I gave up all my financial security. I gave up my house, my home. When I actually came to live in Suffolk, I had £50 in my back pocket and a car that leaked petrol, and I was here as a missionary. It's been okay. It was okay. It was scary, but it was okay. I chose to pursue the call of God in my life rather than sticking in the darker situations that I found myself in. And it's been a better life, and it's made me a better person, I have, for following Jesus into that call, into the dark places. Now, your call will be very different. Each one of us is called, by the way. We're all called. Just because we stand up here on the platform doesn't mean we're special. We're all called. The thing with me is I like to take risks. But it does. Once we've built our lives, it takes something to then deconstruct them, doesn't it? I was thinking about this last night. It's the cycle of life, isn't it? And I'm at this place again where I'm thinking, I've got some borders I need to expand now. I'm a bit stuck. After 20 years of doing mission and ministry, I'm stuck. I need to expand. Because as we expand, our understanding of Jesus becomes more real. That's why. Because I know there's more to know, and there's more to see, feel, and touch of God. And I have a deep desire in me to have that. A deep, deep desire. God's put a space in each one of us, hasn't he? As the scripture says, to live a life worthy, to bear good fruit. He's put this space within us that we can bear good fruit. And to do that, we need to expand sometimes. Think about Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. God spoke to him, didn't he? And he said, basically, get up from your place where you've got your tent. Another man in a tent. When you've got your tent, get up and shift your family way over there. I'm not going to tell you where it is. I just want you to get on the road and go. Abraham just did it without question. He believed God. And as we read the New Testament and what God says to us in that, the question is, do we believe God? Or do we believe our situation? Or do we believe our past? Or do we believe our emotions? I wonder which one sometimes we line up to. Or do we believe what God says in the scripture, that we are on a journey towards him? We are going home, aren't we, ultimately? And along the way, this is how I like to think, along the way, I'm gathering hundreds of other people with me through evangelism mission. Hopefully we're all journeying towards God the way home, ultimately, to eternal life. Because you see, if we never get on the road and expand our borders, maybe we don't then know, under pressure, the strength and the power, according to God's glorious might, that is at work within us. That strength and that power that produces endurance and patience. I don't know if you've ever been in a really difficult situation. I suspect, because we're all the same, we have. But it's sometimes under pressure and in the difficult situations, in the darkest of times, that the light of Christ is the strongest. The strength of God is the strongest in the battle. And you look back, you think, I have no idea how I got through that. But because God was with us and he was doing something on the inside of us. Now, I don't think God brings situations on us. I've never preached that. I think we find ourselves in situations and circumstances, even within ourselves. We think, I don't know how I got here, but I did. And God's like, well, okay, you're in this place. Now I can do some strength training. Now I can do some resistance training in you. Now I can put some patience and endurance into you. Something that's been my experience. In the darkest of the moments, and I've had plenty, let me tell you, even in ministry and mission, there's a lot of dark spaces that come on us. And you think, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. But I'm still here to tell the tale. Nearly 20 years later. And Abraham, as he journeyed, he took his whole family, journeyed. He had some dark moments. He had some challenges along the way, didn't he? He was asked to sacrifice his son. Give that up. The most precious thing. Give that up for me. Give that up. And Abraham was willing to do that. So he trusted and he believed God. He believed God, which is the most important thing that we can do, is to believe God as our borders are expanding. Otherwise, we're going to come off the rails. And I've seen that happen in people's lives, coming off the rails when they're unable to cling to what Jesus says in the scriptures about who they are, what they're called to, their complete DNA. You see, I've really practiced the art of believing the scripture. So where it says in the scriptures, I'm just saying this to give you an example really, my life is crucified with Christ, I no longer exist. Paul says, doesn't he? Christ within me, the hope of glory. I fundamentally believe that. So when I'm in a dark space or a dark place in myself or in a difficult situation I don't know how I'm going to get through, my borders are expanding, I think this feels horrible, I'm out of my comfort zone. I think, actually, I'm not alive. My life is crucified with God, with Christ. I no longer live, Christ is in me. I fundamentally believe that. So, and that has somehow rewired my thinking and my ability to cope with really difficult situations. I believe God. Do we, together, can we believe God as a church? So Abraham, he heard and he obeyed without question, and he just went. And his faith was credited him to righteousness, which is Genesis 15:6. The great thing about us is our faith is credited through the blood of Christ shed for us. We don't have to do works to get favour. Thank goodness for that. I don't always have to get it right to have the favour of God on my life. I'm favoured because God sees me as Christ, as Jesus. When he looks at me, because Christ is in me, when he looks at you as Christ is in you, he sees what? Jesus. That should bring a smile to our face. Thank goodness for that. Is what I think. Once that thinking drops into our heart, we are able to walk in forgiveness, and more importantly, to forgive ourselves and to live a life worthy of the Lord and to bear fruit. So many things in this scripture, isn't there? Which is good because it brings life to our mortal bodies. Makes our life worth continuing with, doesn't it? Makes the journey worth the journey. So looking at a life well lived just for a few moments, we expand our horizon by getting a vision. We begin to find the place of expansion of borders to get vision. You know, scripture says without vision, people will get lost, they perish, you die off. You begin to feel like you're decaying and dying off because of lack of vision. So what is the vision for our personal life? And you can just write that down somewhere. If you've got a dream, if you've got an idea of something you'd like to do, it doesn't have to be only the vision for your life. You may have the vision for your life is to get a flat and to have a place of safety for you and your family. Their vision for our lives that we can work towards, and God is so definitely in those things. In the ministry that I've run here in Ipswich for many years, that's been the vision of broken people's lives, is to have a place of safety, a home, a front door they can shut, and where people are going to exploit them and hurt them can stay outside. What great vision for life. But your vision may be different. And you're never too old or too young to have vision, fresh vision. So if you're thinking, I'm a little bit higher up the scale, I'm shifting higher up the scale. I'm getting there. I know you don't believe that, but I am getting there. If you're thinking I'm getting up the scale, you can still have fresh vision. You can still have a dream. You can still have something that you can journey with God and live a life worthy of the Lord. To open our hearts to the potential within us, which is always Jesus. He's within us, so we have huge potential within each one of us. I went to Thailand once for, I think, about 10 days, if that, maybe less actually, maybe 8 days I did. I didn't quite know where I was going. We did outreach into the bars and clubs on this island. Met lots of people. I met one girl in particular. So every night I just played Connect Four with this girl in a bar. She was always drunk, high on drugs, troubled person, and unable to leave that bar actually. She was controlled to stay in that place, if I can put it like that. I remember having conversations with her about faith and not even really understanding that she could, you know, didn't know she could understand me, but we played this game. We built a relationship over a few days. And the day I flew out, that girl came to Christ. I had nothing to do with that, by the way. I just sowed the seed. And she left that bar and they got her in a safe house. And as far as I know, she's still a missionary in northern Thailand. So I've travelled all the way to Thailand for 8 days for one person. That's how much Jesus loves you and I and her. He will send people out of their borders, out of their comfort zones, to reach the lost. And you can be those people. There's plenty of lost people. As I drove around here today, I thought, wow, there's loads of lost people around here. You could do that with the book. It's not rocket science. You can do that with a smile. You can do that with just a point of connection. Sometimes I adopt cafes to go and sit in because the same people tend to go to the same places and I'm building connections. You could do that. Potential of Jesus within each one of us is huge. And you know what? When we share our faith, Philippians 6 says, we will know and understand the love of God so much more. Because as we're speaking about our faith, we get it. We understand it more. It's fantastic, isn't it? So what's going to build your faith to do this, some of this? And I'm just going to whisper in this. Sharing your faith. Even if you share your faith at home to each other. God's been speaking to me about this. Or your friends. What's he speaking to you about? That's sharing our faith. And then to those that don't yet know Jesus. It doesn't have to be nicely packaged. Remember the girl in Thailand? I did it over again for Connect Four. Say what's on your heart. And as long as it's authentic, as long as we're not beating people up with the Bible, it's authentic, you know it's true, you're living it out, the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Fantastic, isn't it? Growing in the knowledge of God is through intimate relationship. Intimacy is caught as we spend time in scripture and in prayer and in worship. Growing in the knowledge of God. You know, Mark 6:31 says, you know, Jesus was there with crowds and crowds of people. And he says, come away with me to a quiet place and get some rest. Hang out with Jesus more. A vision will come. And before you know it, your borders will be expanding. And you'll think, I really like Christian life, man. I'm understanding it more and more, and it's really good. It's still a struggle sometimes, but it's really good. You know, John 15 says, doesn't it, without Jesus we can do nothing. Doesn't we understand Christ within us, the hope of glory? My life is crucified. I no longer exist, but Christ lives in me. We're on a good journey. And then another faith builder is strengthened with all power. That's what it says in Colossians. And it's strengthened with all power. And power is interesting, isn't it? Because it says in this scripture in Colossians, it produces patience and endurance. So power gets bad press, doesn't it, in our culture? But actually, in biblical culture, it produces a fruit of patience and endurance. God at work in us produces something. So you can run your race. Each one has got a race in them. And Ephesians 3:20, his great power is at work within each one of us. When we come into church gathering, we lift our hands and we worship and we say a prayer. God's power is at work within us. When you're in your car driving to work, and or on the bus going to work, wherever you're going to the shops, God's power is at work within us because we're connected to the vine, and his name is Jesus. Never forget that. Wherever you are, the power of God is at work in you, producing good fruit, so that you can bear fruit. The final thing is about being joyful, so giving thanks to God because he's qualified us to share his inheritance as holy people. This again comes through the cross. And we're going to share in communion in a moment together to celebrate that connectedness with God the Father through Jesus' Son and his sacrifice. God is not absent from your life. That's what I'd like to say today. God is not absent from your life. He is here today. He was there yesterday, and he'll be there tomorrow. He's not absent. And he wants to encourage you to expand your borders in yourself and externally in the world. Do something slightly different. Give it a go. Do what God calls you to do, and it will go well. As long as we keep doing that, it will go well for us. You know, Abraham in Genesis 12, he worshipped God and he built an altar in the place where God spoke to him. And we can build an altar in our heart to worship God. When God speaks to us, we can build altars in our heart to worship God and give thanks for what he's done and what he's doing. I'll leave you with this one scripture. Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. When we do that, then we can go beyond our own borders that we've built internally and externally. Amen.
Amen.
God is good. We should have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us through and through. We thank you that you look at us with eyes of hope and eyes of proudness and eyes of a father looking at his children of love. And Father, we pray today that you would expand us to where we have not gone before, within our faith, within ourselves, and externally in our situations. We pray, Father, where some of us have got stuck, that you would release us from those little prisons that are built up and open new doors of opportunity. Bring new vision to our lives and bring clarity over what you speak to us through your scriptures of who we are in Christ. Father, we pray that you would do a work in each one of us, that your church would be able to glorify you, that it would indeed be a light on the hill, and that people would be attracted to come. And we pray for fresh people to come in, to just pass by, and to dare to come in and sit at the back and listen, and to come to know you through our lives being expanded through the message of your Son, Jesus. And we pray these things together in Jesus' name.